And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You can stretch right up and touch the sky when the weather's fine. You got women on your mind.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel in the summertime. And this is The Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins.
Well, good morning, Megan. That's great summer music.
Yes, by, yes, per your suggestion.
By Mungo Jerry.
I have to know how you know that. Because that's not common knowledge.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not sure, and I'm sure some of the listeners may differ. He may have been, or Mungo Jerry may have been, a one-hit wonder.
Could be. I'm not sure of anything
I can't
else.
Name anything else that Mungo Jerry did. Can you?
Well, no, and this is a kind of a scary thing, but on the monitor here it says this song came out in 1970.
1970.
You realize, of course, there are people listening who weren't born then.
I understand. That was 1970.
Yeah.
I think I was on an aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean.
Were you really?
In 1970.
Wow. Exactly. Wow.
Back in my
unbelievable
Navy days.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's summertime. I was showing Mike. I've been driving around town, and now I've got Garden Line on my mind. So every time I see a pretty plant or flower, I'm taking snapshots.
There you
with
go.
My phone.
There you go.
So we were talking. I had asked you last week about the Gulf Breeze entry wave there when you come across the Three Mile Bridge.
Right.
And it's just rows and rows of these gorgeous orange, red flowers.
Right. And I hope I'm not wrong. Now, I'm sure we have a lot of listeners in Gulf Breeze. They're going to call and say, Mike, you're wrong. Because I'm just going by the picture on your phone.
Which is not great quality, by the way.
But they look like drift roses to me. Which are for lack of a better word, kind of a ground cover, very low growing rose, kind of a miniature bloom on them. Absolutely, absolutely gorgeous. That's what the picture looks like. I think we're close, but if somebody in Gulf Breeze can straighten us out, we'd be grateful.
Well, I wasn't sure. I mean, there's certain things you see a lot of
as
far as that kind of thing,
exactly.
Like median flowers.
Exactly.
But this was so bright and beautiful, and it's been blooming since they put it in, I guess. So it's been a while.
Oh, exactly. It's you kind of relate them to the knockout roses.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing at all. But the knockout roses, for example, have been blooming all spring, still blooming now. They take a little bit of a break, and here they come back again.
Right.
Just a great plant. That's why the knockout roses and the drift roses. Drift roses have kind of taken over the rose business, which, remember the old Jackson and Perkins roses and Weeks roses, all the standard roses that we are used to. People don't plant them like they used to.
Interesting.
And those companies got in some trouble. I say got in some trouble, had some sales problems.
Right,
Let's put it that way. They didn't get in any trouble. So, that's a great rose. If you've got a full sun area, they really do need full sun.
They're in it.
And in the median strip in Gulf Breeze, they've got it. So that's great. I'm glad you took that picture.
Yeah,
there.
I was really curious.
You also showed me another picture.
I know, I've gotten a little crazy about this now.
Another picture in one of the neighborhoods.
It's right there on 17th Avenue. As you're coming up 17th Avenue, you've gone through underneath the graffiti bridge, and you get up right towards the corner of Cervantes. There's those blue houses on the corner, but the house right before those blue houses is just an impeccably gardened, the landscaping, but they have these bright red, and I wasn't sure if it was a crepe myrtle or not, because they're bright red.
From the picture, it's a crepe myrtle.
I never knew they came. They were red. I've seen them in other colors, but bright red?
Exactly. And you know, Meg, that kind of drives home the point that we talked about, a couple of weeks ago, that if you want to plant a crepe myrtle, now is the time to determine the color you want. Because that one you showed me is just a vibrant red. But, of course, they come in red, pink, white,
I've seen
lavender.
The pink and white, but
They're
I've never
everywhere.
Seen bright, bright red like that.
Exactly. So if you want that color, for example, if you're driving down 17th, and if you can find a parking place and take a picture, it, then take that to Larry at Pensacola Seed and Garden, or go to Werner's, or go to one of your great garden centers and say, this is the color I want, because they, I bet they can match it.
Well, I want to salute that homeowner because that particular yard is just impeccable. And with every season, they plant new things and put, I mean, and at Christmas time, it's really beautiful. Right. So I just want to mention that because I've just been, every time I drive by, I think, wow, what a beautiful yard.
Oh, no doubt. And I think I know the house you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you're right. And it's not only spring and summer blooming flowers. It's, like you say,
year-round.
Christmas decorations.
Yes, yes, absolutely. All
it's
right.
Kind of cool.
You're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Let's get started. If you've got some questions that have been gnawing at you all week long, now's the time to text them in at 850-437-1620.
Right. Let's hit the weather real quick.
Okay.
It is hot. There's no question about it. It is hot. But what we've got to do is be careful because we've had all this long string of thunderstorms that, of course, kick up generally in the afternoon, which contain fierce lightning.
I know.
So we've got to be careful. You know, be like the golfers. You know, the golfers know that if they're on the course and the big horn sounds, lightning warning, that get off the course, get away from the trees. And same thing for a homeowner. You just have to be very, very careful with this lightning. And, of course, these thunderstorms have brought us some, you know, a lot of rain, but a lot of us haven't got that much rain.
I haven't. I've noticed it seems like it's all around me, but my yard itself has not gotten any rain.
That's exactly right.
It's weird.
And so in your brain, you say, wait a minute, I've got all these thunderstorms coming through. I'm clicking that sprinkler system off. Saves a little bit of money. Well, be careful. Be careful with that. Just sort of operate it manually. If you get one of those big thunderstorms and you get 45 minutes of hard rain, great. Cut it off for a day or so. But if you get what looks like it's going to storm and it doesn't, keep that sprinkler system going because like it's in the 90s and it's hot and you've got to be so very careful. So be careful, not only of the lightning, but just of the heat itself. Just do your yard work in the morning. Late in the afternoon.
For the past week almost, we've been with, it's been the 90s, but 100-degree heat index.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
Higher.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in what's the temperature? The heat index. Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, but, as I'm standing there sweating, it always makes me feel better to know that it feels like 106, and they're telling me it feels like 106.
Exactly right. So and it may really be 106.
Right.
You have to be careful.
Better.
Have to be careful with that. One thing about the weather and I'm going to relate this to what we've been talking about over the last week or so, is fertilizing our lawn in the midsummer. The St. Augustine, the zoysia, probably not the centipede. You don't really need to do that. Be careful with the heat because if you are not able to control the water or you're not able to get to the water to water the lawn, then and you put the fertilizer out, and this time of year, we, in many cases, use a higher nitrogen fertilizer. You put it out and don't water it in, you can have some problems. It can burn it up. It can burn it up. So I would recommend, if you are going to put out your midsummer kicker for St. Augustine and zoysia, I would water it every day for 4 to 5 days. Every day.
And when?
For at least
When's the best time?
30 minutes. In the morning.
In the morning.
Early
okay.
in the morning. And do it for at least 30 minutes minimum. And I think that'll get that fertilizer down where it can go to work and accomplish your goals, what you want. But if you just let it sit there, especially on St. Augustine, if you put that granular fertilizer with a high nitrogen, and especially if the lawn is wet when you do it and you don't water it in, those granules will stick on those blades of grass and you've got some problems. So anyway, weather always sort of dictates what we do here on the Garden Line, and this hot weather is telling us to be very careful about when to water and when not to water.
Okay, well, we'll have some more tips for this weather and questions from you coming right up here on the Pensacola Expert Panel and the Garden Line. We'll be right back. Good morning. You've just joined the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, and we are talking about summertime and things to do to take care of your lawn. If you've got any questions about what you're dealing with now with this hot weather and thunderstorms and everything else, text it on in at 850-437-1620.
Absolutely. And let's go back to the lawns for just a minute before we proceed. If you've gotten a lot of rain, or if you've watered according to our scheduling, your grass looks pretty good, very lush, especially St. Augustine. It's very lush, especially if you're mowing it high. I always say, you know, this time of year, you can mow it on Saturday, and on Sunday, you may say, well, maybe I need to mow it again, especially if you're mowing it high. But mowing it high is the best thing to do. There's absolutely no question. But the lushness, is that a word?
Yeah, I think so.
Andrew would have been mad at me for saying
that. We were just talking about words. Lushness.
Let's reword it. Now that your lawn is lush.
Lush looking.
I like it. That's good. Two problems. Really, three problems can crop up. And we've talked about them. But you've got to be observant. Sod webworms, chinch bugs, and the brown patch fungus. Those things can happen when this grass gets this lush. The humidity is high, the temperature is high, because mainly, especially the two insects, are very tropical.
Mm.
And this is certainly tropical weather.
Interesting.
Especially if you have that lush lawn. So I recommend, you know, I used to say every morning when you go out to get the paper, well, nobody does that anymore.
Right.
Nobody does it anymore. So just take a walk through the front yard, backyard, whenever, and be sure you don't have some mysterious brown spots cropping up, mainly next to the street or next to the sidewalks, because that's where the turf itself is warmer.
Mm.
And the warmer that turf, that soil, the more chances you might have these problems. Because if you've got the chinch bugs or the sod webworms, either one, they need to be treated, because they'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger, these spots. And we can talk about that. There's a lot of chemicals that one can use. But you've just got to find one that's labeled for those insects. It's labeled for the grass that you've got. And just be observant, because this is the time of the year when these problems will crop up. And we'll have to be doing this all during July, August, even into early September.
Okay.
And we'll kind of get out of it. But for the next couple of months, be so cognizant of your grass. I know you're probably very proud of it right now because it's looking good. But these things can crop up almost overnight. The sod webworms are the one that get to me. When they crop up, it's like a goat has visited your yard.
Oh, no.
Like
that's terrible.
Chewing on the grass.
Oh, no.
Very easy to diagnose and very easy to control.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to do it.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, we've got a question. A question has come in from one of our listeners, kind of on the same topic, but a little different. The leaves of my hydrangeas have turned yellow with lots of black dots on them. What causes that, or what can I do?
That's probably a leaf spot fungus.
Okay.
Which, I be honest with you, I'm not sure I would try to treat it, because it's just really cosmetic. Now, if the yellowing may be a little different, the yellowing you may want to use this time of year, it'd be fine to do, a good shrubbery fertilizer, just a general fertilizer like an 888, a 15-0-15, being sure that it contains iron, because that might help with iron. Sometimes when leaves on, say, hydrangeas, for example, turn yellow, that's a problem called chlorosis, which is an absence of iron. So put that iron on there, that might help it. But the little dots are leaf spot. It's a little fungus. Not much you can do about it. It's mainly cosmetic, and so I really wouldn't worry too much about it.
Is that something that would spread?
Yes. Oh, no. That you'll find it on so many plants this time of year. And one other thing, if you've got the hydrangeas and you've got the leaves are turning brown, that can be a fungus. But it can also be, believe it or not, caused by the wind.
Really?
The wind. It dries the plant out.
Huh.
And some of the literature, especially now when hydrangeas are blooming, is saying that the wind can be part of the problem of brown leaves on say hibiscus or hydrangeas or whatever. And also too much nitrogen, too much. If you're putting that shrubbery fertilizer on there, watch that first number. All fertilizers have three numbers, 1608, 888, 15050. Don't make it so high because that can brown them out too. But one last thing about the spots on the hydrangeas. If you've got spots that are on the, I'm not sure how to word this, on the internal part of the leaf, not on the edges of the leaf, on the internal part of the leaf, that's generally a disease problem. If the browning is from the tips of the leaf coming down or on the edges, that's generally environmental. Too hot, too cold, too much nitrogen, too much something else. So be aware of all of that. But there's not much one can do, in my opinion, about those little leaf spots.
Now, the same listener just texted in a follow-up. The yellow leaves are falling off. Does that damage the plant being around the bottom of it?
Well, yes. Oh, yeah. You mean, oh, yes. If you've got a diseased leaf on any plant, yeah, and you're pruning it off or it's falling off, yes, get rid of it. You rake it out.
Okay.
Rake it out. But sometimes, and I'm not sure exactly what's going on with this one, but when you have a plant that drops leaves, it can be caused by a lot of things. But generally, that is the plant recovering on its own. If the leaf stays on the plant and turns a crinkly, is that a good word, man?
Yes, that'll
okay,
work.
It turns a crinkly brown, then you've got some problems. But if it falls off, generally, that plant is trying to recover.
Okay. Great questions. If you've got a question for Mike on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We'll be back with some more questions and great answers from our expert in just a couple minutes. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk this morning, and we're following up with some questions from our listeners, and one of them was, any suggestions on a weed killer? Nothing seems to work down here. And then I put the follow-up and says that I have the weeds and grass growing through pavers and rocks.
That quite frankly, should be easy. Roundup will work, and as we've told this story many times on the Garden Line, but it bears repeating, Roundup for years and years and years contained a chemical called glyphosate, which really worked great. Well, the Roundup folks had little problems legal-wise, and they don't have glyphosate in your residential spray. I think commercially they still get it. But if you go buy Roundup now, it doesn't have glyphosate. It's got another chemical in it. I had the same situation, weeds coming up in my driveway. I bought the new Roundup with the new formula, and it worked like a charm.
Oh, good.
And so the question is, when should I do it? The hotter and drier it is the time to do it right now. There's an old saying that if you have a St. Augustine grass and you try to kill a weed in the wintertime when the grass is totally dormant, it's not going to work. It needs that hot weather because it takes that chemical and it translocates it to the roots, kills it, roots and all. I have noticed on television, I don't even remember the name, there's a new product I've never heard of before, which says it does exactly the same thing. And it shows the dandelion sitting there,
right,
and the guy sprays it, and the dandelion keels over. Well, it doesn't happen quite that fast, but you'll see results really in the first day.
And that'll work through the rocks, and because I've had that with a driveway where it comes up through the cracks.
Exactly, but the way it works is you've got to spray it on actively growing grassy weeds. In other words, if you've got oak trees coming up, it probably isn't going to work. But if it's a grassy weed, which all the just the weeds that we have, many of them, if not most of them, are, it really will work. That's what I would do. Now I'm going to elaborate on that. I think we're going to have a break here in a minute.
You've got about a minute left.
Okay. I'm going to say this. If you want to go kill the weeds in your St. Augustine lawn, just kill the regular weeds in your St. Augustine lawn. Don't.
Okay.
Don't. Too hot. That weed killer on the shelf till the fall.
Okay. But if it's something separate like we're talking about, it's okay.
Oh, if you're trying to kill weeds in your driveway or in the rocks.
Now's the time. All right, this is The Garden Line. We will be back with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk right after the news, so don't go away and send those questions in,
855-437-1620. In the summertime when the weather is hot.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And on Tuesdays from 9 to 10, it is The Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins.
Do we need to send out the alarm to our listeners that we have a top 10 list of summer songs?
We got to warn them ahead of time.
Exactly. We got Mungo Jerry today.
Yes, we do. We got a whole list for the
whole
summer. Mike brought it in for me.
Summer. Exactly.
I think that you were a DJ in another life, or that you should be like a disc jockey.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. I think you'd be the best.
Yeah.
I'll just be your sidekick.
I was just saying, we could do it together.
We could do Mike and Meg in the morning.
I like it.
And I'll just be your sidekick. I'll laugh at all your jokes.
Exactly.
Play the music.
You'd be the only one that does.
Well, I don't know about that. You're a pretty funny fella.
I don't think so.
Back to gardening.
Where are we here?
Okay, well, we just talked about lawns, and we were talking about weed killers and things to take care of right now. And now we've got another question. Here we go. Do we know anything about French drains? How deep? Rocks, etc.?
I am not your French drain guy, but let me give you somebody who is. There's a company, big landscape company, very successful, good people, Executive Landscaping.
Okay.
Look them up. Give them a call. I know for a fact that they have been involved in drainage systems in turf, lawns, that type of thing. Yes. And they could answer your question, I feel sure. Ask for Mr. West.
You know everyone in this town. Being the former mayor of Pensacola, kind of a reference from you is a good one.
No. But anyway, Rennie West is his name.
Okay.
And I don't think he would mind me saying so, that if you are in need of drainage systems,
mm-hmm.
He'd be the first guy I would call.
Well, don't call me because I have no idea what a French drain is.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, it's just a drainage system that's going to get water that comes into your yard and takes it to somewhere else, be it a retention pond or the gutter or whatever. And it's buried.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of holes in it. And that's about all I know.
Okay.
That's about all I want to know.
I didn't realize that there were French and Spanish and American drains.
I don't think there's Spanish or American. I think a French drain is one of a kind.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. The fellow Mike who was asking us about the weeds coming up through his drive and pavers and stuff said that spruce. I tried it with no success.
That is a new one. That's one. Thanks, Mike, for letting me know the name spruce.
Spruce. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
He said he tried it with no success.
Really?
Interesting.
Well, I would if that one didn't work, I would certainly go back to the old Roundup. I just know I have used it in that same application. With weeds coming up in the patio and that type of thing, and it'll work really well. Like I say, it's kind of not an exaggeration because it's kind of the truth. You can kind of tell you sprayed it. If you do it in the morning, by the end of the day, you can sort of see where that weed is kind of leaning a little bit. But you give it 4 or 5 days, and generally that weed is gone.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's what I would do, Mike. I'm glad to hear a reference to the new one because of commercials on television make it sound like it's wonderful. And maybe, I don't know.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Maybe we'll have some more listeners who've also tried it and either had a success or not.
Right. And it's one of these things it's not that Mike or whoever is using these products, the Roundup or the Spruce, in a dilution. You may say, well, they're diluting it too much. Generally, they come in a ready-to-use with a wand on it.
The direct spray, right?
A direct spray, exactly. And so it's not a dilution problem, but you would know this, if you sprayed it this morning, and we got a rainstorm this afternoon, that would dilute it.
Okay.
Because it's got to stay on that foliage and, as I say, move into the root system.
So, okay.
Anyway, good. That's good to know.
Great. Thanks so much for texting that in. If you've got a question for Mike about gardening, this is the Garden Line and the place to do it, 850-437-1620. And it can be on any topic, anything that you're struggling with, maybe something you're having success with, or something you figured out this summer that works for you. We love to hear from you.
Absolutely. One thing I did want to mention, our good friend Catherine keeps me informed on a lot of things. She's wonderful. But she sent me or gave me reference to the You Pick 'Em Fruit Farms in Escambia, Santa Rosa County.
We talked about that.
The reason I mentioned that is if you're interested in that, be sure to call these people first because they're sort of at the end of their season. And the two that we mentioned the last time were the peach farm, where they grow, obviously they grew peaches. You can go pick them. And they say it lasts through their season, generally lasts through June. So as we get to the end of June, give them a call. You can Google them and they'll give you the phone number. The other one was Blue Basket Farms, which is in Milton, which is open for the blueberry season.
And is that still going on?
Until early July is what they say.
Oh, gosh, that's
great. But here's one thing about that one. The Blue Basket says they have new options. You can pick green beans. That's interesting. Summer squash, zucchini squash. So they've got other things that you can pick at the Blue. That's called the Blue Basket Farms. And you could Google either one, find the phone number, give them a call before you take a trip up to McDavid.
Yes, what a great thing to do.
Oh, it would be fun.
Especially if you've got family visiting and maybe it's too hot for the beach.
That's a great grandchild.
Yes.
Grandchild event. No doubt about it. So, anyway.
Okay.
You go ahead.
I was going to say, we got another question.
Oh, okay.
Unless you have something else you wanted to
say. No, not yet.
This is a question from a listener. I have a string of pearls that I cannot keep alive. I don't know if I'm watering them too much or watering them too little. They are in the house hanging near a window, but not in direct sunlight.
Well, and that's pretty good. I think this time of year, you probably need to get them outside. Get them outside, and they like the humidity. I would not put them in full sun. I think they're going to take some filtered sun, and I would do that. I would move them outside and let them get some fresh air and see if that doesn't help.
Okay.
I really think that. And a little houseplant fertilizer might also help you too. But don't put it out in this full, blaring 90-degree sun. A nice little spot underneath an oak tree sounds like it'd be a good place to take it. So that's what I would do.
Okay. And then how long should she try that?
I would try it for the rest of the summer if they thrive out there. Now, keep in mind, so many times when you do move a plant from the inside to the outside, sometimes, depending on the environment, you'll get a little bit of a shock. So be careful. Mm-hmm. And if it's getting too much sun, correct that. If it just isn't working, move it back inside.
Right.
But I think that'll help.
Okay. And some of the other indoor plants, anything special people need to be worried about this time of year? Are they affected at all? I mean, obviously the air conditioning being on 24/7.
Well, you hit it on the head, Meg. Just like in the winter with the heat vents with air conditioning, you don't want it to go right on the plant. Put them near sunny windows. That always helps, depending on the plant. If it's a spathiphyllum, a peace lily, that will take a lot of shade.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a Ficus benjamina,
You're showing off.
No,
now.
I'm not. That's not a common stuff. But anyway,
it likes
a lot of sun.
What was the pacifist of minimum? What was that one?
Ficus benjamina. Wait a minute. Weeping fig. How's that?
There you go. Now I can relate. A weeping fig.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because these houseplants also have sun shade requirements. And so those are the two extremes. If you've got a nice, cozy den, peace lily.
Those are nice.
Really nice. That's the spathiphyllum. If you've got a big picture window, the weeping fig, or Ficus benjamina, might be your choice. Also, kind of watch out for insects. You can get some natural sprays and little aerosols that you can spray it with. I would fertilize them in the summer, maybe once a month with a little liquid fertilizer. And then that's it. I think it's a joy.
Okay.
Exactly.
I have an anthurium right now that I moved into some sunlight, and it is just thriving.
It's a big red.
Yes, with the yellow pistil, I guess.
Yes,
you call it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's thriving right now.
Well, but you know, that's not the easiest plant to grow.
Ooh.
You know, some of these house plants are no-brainers, but an anthurium can really, you really got to have it in the right place.
It must be your influence.
I have nothing to do with it.
He's a disclaimer right now. So, okay, well, we're going to take a quick break on that note. This is The Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We'll be back to answer more of your questions in just a couple of minutes on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. We've got Steve on the line who's got a question for you, Mike. Good morning, Steve.
What do you say, Steve?
Hey, good morning, guys. Mike, I love your show. You guys are the best.
Thank you very much.
I've got bought a Baldwin pear tree over the weekend. My question is, does it need two Baldwin pears? Does it need a friend? Or will it self-pollinate?
I think it'll self-pollinate. I don't think you're going to need two of the Baldwin pears. One thing about Baldwin pears, or any pear tree, for anybody that wants one, be sure that you buy a pear, and I think Baldwin will qualify for this, that will put up with our weather. In other words, a lot of these fruit trees need more chill hours than we have here in Pensacola. We have about, 400, 500 chill hours where temperature gets low, mm-hmm. in the 40s, that type of thing. So you have to be very aware of that. But yes, I don't think you're going to need a friend. I think it'll be just fine. That's a good variety, and good luck with that. I would, if you just bought it now, be so careful, because keep in mind, a pear tree, like most fruit trees, is a deciduous tree, loses its leaves in the winter. And that's probably the best time to put it in the ground. So if you're going to plant a Baldwin pear, that I'm sure it's in a pot, in a container, be so sure that you use some organic material like peat moss, and you just water the fool out of it. Just really do. I would not count on your sprinkler system to water it. I would literally drag that hose out and let it dribble on it maybe for an hour or so every couple of days until it gets over the shock of being moved. But the good thing about the plant, it is in a container, so all the roots are there. One last thing, if you're going to plant it, you may find it's root bound. It's got roots winding around it. And a lot of people, new gardeners, will take it very, very carefully and put it in the new hole. Very carefully, not to disturb the roots. Just the opposite. You want to get your gloves and kind of loosen those roots that are winding around. I even have people I know that take a box cutter and cut those roots. You want to expose it so they start growing out, because if not, they're going to stay wound around that root ball. So, good luck. Let us know how it does.
Okay, I really appreciate it. That sounds great.
Thanks so much, Steve, for calling
in. Go get them, Steve. Thanks for calling.
All righty. Okay, this is Pep Talk in the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. And if you have a question, you can always text it in 850-437-1620. Real quick, Mike, Catherine had texted in. We were talking about Richie's blueberries in Milton, and she wanted us to know that they also grow muscadine grapes, which are available in August.
There you go.
So thanks, Catherine. We appreciate all your info.
Thank you.
And then we had another question. We're trying to get to all these real quick here, but we had one where someone has a shady area in their yard. It's in the shade all day. The grass doesn't grow there. What could I plant there that will still kind of fill the corner up? It's under an oak and a magnolia tree.
That's a great question, because a lot of us have that. And a lot of people, I'll say, on the east side or the west side of their house, mm-hmm. is very, very shady. Okay, I'm going to give you kind of a list here of things. Let me see if I can rattle off some here. One I really like that will take a lot of shade is Akuba. Akuba looks kind of like a croton. Has these yellow spots on it, green leaves. Very, very pretty. And it's a real great shade plant.
Is it a shrub?
Yes.
It's kind of like
a croton. Mm-hmm. It really does. Now, you've got the Akuba. And you also have the Ajuga.
Oh, my God. You need to just have a class as a professor and teach the language of gardening.
Well, everybody knows that. Ajuga is
everybody except me, apparently.
Ajuga is a ground cover.
Okay.
Kind of colorful purple, if you will. It loves the shade.
Mm-hmm.
And here is the quintessential shade plant for total shade.
I can't wait.
Aspidistra.
Whoa.
Okay. Now, there's another name for it. You know this. Iron plant.
Sure. Oh, yes. Of course, I knew that.
You knew that.
Aspidistra. The iron, the old iron plant.
The old, good old iron plant. Boy, it will grow in total shade. It really will. It'll get up, maybe 2-3 feet. And it really is. It'll fill in. No blooms to speak of. It's just green foliage. But it really does like the shade. And there's so many other ones, too, that you could consider. We may not want to talk about these sometime. I like to think about monkey grass sometimes in a very shady area, especially the evergreen giant liriope.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty.
It's pretty. It has a little bit wider leaf, grows a little taller than your traditional liriope monkey grass, if you will, and, of course, has a little purple bloom on it.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah.
But it really is a good one. And one last one I'll put for a good shady area, and you really may want to consider this one, is an oak leaf hydrangea. Remember last week we talked a lot about hydrangeas. This is the one that is just absolutely gorgeous. It sends out these long branches with some beautiful white blossoms on it. And I've seen them in yards. It's kind of in a corner of a yard where there's a big tree and in a shady area, and they do very, very well there. So those are some you may want to consider.
Those are great suggestions, and it's a great question. Thanks for sending
that
in.
It is a great question because we all face that. Mm-hmm. We have some places that are just too much shade, so what can we grow? Oh, no, there's one more.
What's that?
Fatsia japonica. Fatsia is good. Fatsia looks very, very tropical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I'd put it in total dense shade, but it really does. It is classified as a shade-loving plant. It has kind of tropical-looking foliage to it. It's a great plant.
Okay, great. All right, well, we have some great suggestions for what you can do for shady areas. Coming up next, we've got some more questions from the listeners. You're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And you want to say, what did you want to say something, Mike?
Do I have time for one quick thing?
Sure.
It has nothing to do with shade plants.
Sure.
But I was asked to ask this question.
Yes.
I need to know if the hummingbirds are in Pensacola at this point in time.
Okay, well, we'll leave it with that.
I need to know that. I'm having a lot of trouble
with your hummingbird.
Attracting the hummingbirds this year.
Okay.
Don't know if I'm doing something wrong. I would just like to hear if they're here right now.
All right.
Okay.
You can text that answer in at 850-437-1620. We'll be right back on Pep Talk. Welcome back to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Mike just asked the question, has anybody seen any hummingbirds, essentially?
And Sarah called us.
Yeah, Sarah sent in a thing and said she's had one hummingbird about a week and a half ago, and that's all they've seen since.
Sarah, I am in the same boat. We've had one, and said, okay, this is a scout. Of course, I don't think they do that way. That's what the martins do. They send the martins send scouts. Hummingbirds, I don't know. But I saw that one. I said, well, now they'll
good
know
question.
They know we're here.
Yeah.
Hadn't seen them since.
Interesting. Okay. Well, exactly. We did have another question from a listener, so we'll try to get to him before the end of the show. I have a Drake elm tree in my front yard that's gotten too big. Is it too hot to have a tree company trim it back?
No. You could certainly do that. Drake elms have such beautiful bark. They really are a good tree. And the city of Pensacola has planted Drake elms, some, downtown on Palafox.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are a large growing tree. They're a great tree. But yes, if you need to trim the limbs up or just open it up a little bit, one of your friendly tree surgeons would be happy to do that. And it would be good to do it now. No problem.
All right, got one more question. We're going to try to squeeze it in. We may not have enough time, but someone's texted in that I have two hydrangeas in the same garden bed, same amount of sunlight and water. One is turning brown and dying, and one is flourishing and has new growth. Any advice for my poor dying hydrangea?
Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is, but I would just do everything right. And if, like we said, if those brown leaves are staying on that hydrangea and not falling off, we may have some kind of problem. Just be sure we haven't used any weed killer close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next week we can come back to this question
and
figure out a few other reasons it may be dying.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. You're the best. He is our expert.
This was fun. This was
on
fun.
The garden lawn. He's so awesome. You can rehear this broadcast on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 and also on our website at newsradio923.com. Just click on the Pensacola Expert Panel on the Garden Line in case you didn't take notes on all those Latin words.